At this time, I'd like to go ahead and ask everyone to open their Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. We're glad to have Brother Bobby Henderson from Little Rock with us here. And we say from Little Rock, but they do spend quite a bit of time down here, so we have unofficially adopted them into the Orlando meeting as well. The title of his words tonight is Our Journey's End, and he'd like us to read together Psalm 119, verses 1 through 40. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so I shall talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. And with that, we'd like to ask everyone to turn their attention to Brother Bobby. And the title of his words again, Our Journey's End.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me in the back okay? I bring you greetings from our brethren back in Arkansas, except I think most of them are here tonight. So I'll just say, as we do back in Arkansas, hey, y'all. Let me get this thing going, and then we'll be ready to go. As Brother Aaron has read in the Psalms 119, He said that he was glad I didn't ask him to read the whole chapter. But as you scan over this particular chapter, you'll see there's a lot of references to the way of Yahweh. And that's really what we want to talk about tonight is, if you look on your program, you can see the theme of the gathering is Jeremiah 6:16. And that's what we want to start off with. Jeremiah 6:16, "Thus saith Yahweh, stand you in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your soul." These words give us a lot of comfort in this day and age in which we live in. And I think that it's, as we go through this weekend, hopefully that our brethren will bring us a lot of exhortations and edifications concerning this particular concept that we learn from this verse. To stand you in the ways and seek and ask for the old paths. As we begin the 52nd annual gathering at the Florida Ecclesia this weekend, I think all of us can look around and we see brothers and sisters who have traveled long distances from their home ecclesias to this ecclesia gathering just to partake of the fellowship that's offered by our host ecclesia. And as we look around, and I think we need to do that because there are a lot of different states, nations represented here, and hopefully that each and every one of us will get to know the others that have came this far this weekend. But as we think back on our travels to get here, I think we see that there's a very good type of the spiritual journey that we also take towards God's kingdom. And let's think through this. When we made plans to come to the gathering, we went through the same process to prepare for this journey that we have taken this weekend and also other journeys that we make in our lifetime. First thing that we do is we make a decision to attend the gathering. We make preparations for our journey. We talk often about the journey that lies ahead, and we rejoice in the benefits that we expect to receive at the end of our journey. We begin our journeys by reaching out to Yahweh. Through prayer, we ask to be allowed to reach our common destination in safety. We continue in prayer throughout our journey. The preparations of our journey include packing the correct clothing that we would wear during our journey, but also the correct clothing that we would be expected to wear when we reach the end of the journey, our common destination. We searched out the way that we should take in which our approved maps offered unto us. When we were traveling down the way, a familiar way to most of us, which would lead to our final destination, we were constantly alert to any hazards that would prevent us from reaching our destination. If we were traveling with loved ones, we would be aware of any danger that they may be exposed to. We would try to warn them of these impending dangers. If we and our loved ones are successful in overcoming the hazards of the way, then we will finally reach our journey's end. We realize that some trips are longer, some are shorter. Some of our life journeys will be more troublesome than others. Some will be free of trouble. Those who overcome these travel hazards are rewarded by seeing brethren that we may not have seen for a long time. We receive the blessings of being with a multitude of called out ones who were also successful in their common journey toward the common destination. We rejoice that all who have been successful in their travels towards this common goal. We are blessed once we reach our destination, our journey's end, by being taught more thoroughly from the Word of God. We are in the presence of the Master and His Father. Brethren, our spiritual journeys are no different than what we just described. If you think about those individual tasks that we went through. Every description of our travels to our journey and our destination this weekend is a type of that great journey that we undertake when we desire to come into covenanted position with our Heavenly Father and prayerfully in the future receive the ultimate blessings of eternal life and immortality when that spiritual journey in this life will end for us. The theme, as we stated, of this 52nd Florida gathering is Jeremiah 6:16. Stand you in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. These old paths are those spiritual ways that will bring us from the beginning of our spiritual journey when we were baptized to our journey's end, when we will rejoice with a multitude of sanctified ones who will receive the rewards of their final destination, the soon-to-be-established kingdom of God on this earth. I would think that through the course of the weekend, we will all be exhorted and edified in all of the aspects of our spiritual journey, from making the right decisions as we prepare for our journey, to wearing the right spiritual garments, to overcoming the hazards along the way, to warning others of the dangers that may lie ahead, to encouragement to seek the final destination of everyone in this room, to keep our eyes always focused on the ultimate goal of serving Yahweh for the eternity. We should take the words of our brothers this weekend to heart and realize that the straight and narrow path that leads us to eternal life may be hazardous at times, but our vision should never wane. 1 Corinthians 15:58 tells us, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain." Let us be steadfast and unmovable in our journey toward our common destination. Let's turn to the 6th chapter of Jeremiah. And as we contemplate the words of our theme verse, I just want to look back at a few verses earlier in the chapter. Consideration of this chapter is very profitable, very edifying as we contemplate these old paths wherein is the good way. As we know, when Jeremiah speaks to us in the earlier verses of this chapter, speaks of an evil out of the north. We know that he's referencing there to the impending Babylonian invasion and destruction. Let's look at the 10th verse of chapter 6. "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it." We see the dire straits that the nation of Israel was in at that time in their history. They refused to listen to the word of God about the impending danger that was coming upon them. And they were proclaimed to have uncircumcised ears. As we read from God's holy word, this was a common malady among the Jewish nation throughout their history. Jesus warns his fellow countrymen that he that have an ear, let him hear. Stephen addresses the same spiritual illnesses in his speech as recorded in Acts 7, verse 51. Let's turn and look up that verse, please. Acts 7:51. "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, Do you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did? So do you. Uncircumcised of ears. What does this mean? What is this uncircumcision of the ear? I think based on what Jeremiah and Stephen tells us, this condition is applied to those who do not listen to the Word of God and turn away from His precepts, His commandments, His laws, His testimony. This condition is applied to all those who prefer the ways of the flesh to the ways of Yahweh. If we look at the history of God's nation, of God's creation, we can see this manifestation of humanistic tendencies from the very beginnings. We remember Cain, Lamech, Nimrod, Nadab and Abihu, the two evil sons of Eli, Saul, Rehoboam, Jeroboam, Ahab and Jezebel, the scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus' day, even down to the Babylonian harlot of Revelation. What did all these people have in common, brothers and sisters? All these people manifested a false system of religion in their lives to the dismay of the Creator of the whole earth. These all strayed from the way of truth that God has set forth in His holy word. These all wanted to come up with something new, a new way of worshiping. They wanted to do things their own way, regardless of the consequences to themselves and to others around them. They were all of uncircumcised heart and ears, we're told. Let's look at verses 14 and 15 of Jeremiah 6. These verses tell us of the ultimate fate of those who choose their own way and do not walk in the way and seek the old paths that Jeremiah requires. Verse 14 and 15. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, wherein there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Yahweh states at the time that these who were uncircumcised of ear would be cast down when He would visit them for their iniquities. Brethren, we must ask ourselves some very hard questions. Do we see any of these humanistic tendencies that we've just described in today's environment in the world around us? Do we see any of these tendencies to invent a new way of worshiping Yahweh in the brotherhood of today? Do we see new ideas thrust upon us through the media of the day? Do we see any in the brotherhood inventing new doctrines that are in direct opposition to the foundations of the one truth that has been revealed in the Word of God? Those new doctrines that are in direct opposition to what Jeremiah 6:16 says. If you answer no, or I don't know, to these questions, then you may not be aware of some of the current day problems in the brotherhood. If you answered, I don't want to know, then we probably have other problems. This would be like saying that we do not want to know of any impending danger to those who are traveling alongside of us on our spiritual path to reach our journey's end. If you answered, no, I don't know, or I don't want to know, then please, I think we should pay close attention to the exhortations from our brethren this weekend. It is absolutely imperative that each and every one of us, for the covenant individuals in this room, are aware of the issues that face the travelers in the truth's way. It's also imperative that each and every one of us are willing and capable to address these issues when they arise, and always be ready to be faithful in the truth and for the truth. We have a responsibility brothers and sisters, to help each other along the way. Let us not ever shirk that responsibility. Stand you in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? That is our goal, something we should strive for, but it's also something that we should help our fellow traveler to reach our common destination. Do the Scriptures provide any admonitions to those who either lead the innocent out of the way or to those individuals who choose to leave the old paths to walk in the way that seems right to men, but which leadeth to death? I think the Word of God gives us plenty of Scriptures that each of us could turn to. We just want to look at a few from the book of Isaiah first. We want to turn to Isaiah, the third chapter. First off, we want to read verse 12 and then skip down towards the end of the chapter. Verse 12 says, "As for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them." And this is the part I think we should pay attention to, this last half of verse 12. "O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths." If you read on down towards the end of the chapter, from verse 17 through verse 26, we see what happens to the nation of Israel because their leaders caused them to err and destroyed the way of thy paths. All the blessings that are mentioned in these verses, Yahweh said He would take away from them. Because the leaders of the nation caused the people to err and were destroying their paths. Let's also go over to Isaiah 59. We want to start at verse 1. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." And drop down to verse 7. "Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Waiting and destruction are in their paths." This is what happens to those who stray from the old paths for whatever reason. "The way of peace they know not, the way of peace that we have with Yahweh. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men." The evil nation was committing all kinds of iniquity, and were looked upon as blind men, knowing no peace, and ultimately suffering the judgments from Yahweh. Let's return to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. And we want to read verses 11 through 16. "Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Return you now every one from his evil way, and make your way and your doings good." And what did Jeremiah 6 tell us? If we walk and seek for the old paths, there is the good way. So he continues that thought in this verse. "Make your ways and your doings good." And they said, "There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Ask you now among the heathen who have heard such things, the virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field? Shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. Here again the prophet tells us to seek those ancient paths. Stand you, seek and ask for the old paths. Now one might say that this is applicable only to the nation of Israel in their time and their history. But I think these concepts can be applied to every one of us as we strive to follow the ways of Yahweh. In the words of Peter in 2 Peter 1:4, excuse me, we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. Promises that brought us together this weekend from near and far. Promises that bring us every Sunday to partake of the memorial feast that we've been commanded to. Promises that help us through every day of our life when we struggle with the iniquities of our flesh and the sins and transgressions of those around us. Precious promises, brothers and sisters, young people and friends of the truth, we should never forget. We should never thrust them to the side because they are very, very precious. So we have to ask ourselves, considering the precious these promises and how precious they are, why do some choose to live by their own inventions and possibly be excluded from the rewards of these promises? Why do some choose to put forth new doctrines that are not compliant with the entirety of God's Word? Why do some choose to be followers of not the old paths, but the new paths, instead of adhering to the old paths? Is it scriptural to be constantly looking for something new in regards to the Word of God? Some of us may not even want to consider these questions about our brothers and the false ideas that are coming amongst us. The truth we know is not complicated, nor is it only intended to be understood by the Einsteins of the day. The truth is simple. There is a path that leads towards eternal life and righteousness with Yahweh. The old paths are those that teach us about the way of salvation to fallen man. We must all come to the understanding that there is only one way that leads to salvation and redemption for those who truly seek to receive the fulfillment of these promises that Peter speaks about. But what are we to do in this age, brothers and sisters? Whether we want to admit it or not, we all have responsibilities to Yahweh and to our brethren to always proclaim the one truth and the way of salvation. Let us not live our lives with our heads stuck in the sand and hope that all will pass. Humanism and humanist will always be part of this world. Unfortunately, this characteristic of mankind has greatly impacted the Christadelphian community. We know that there are some who have invented new ways of looking at first principle doctrines. New doctrines regarding the kingdom of God, the kingship of Christ, the priesthood of Christ, the definition of eternal life, and when we receive eternal life, we're seeing amongst us. I've heard that there's a website that's set up for gay Christadelphians. I personally know of a brother who served in Iraq after coming into covenant position. I personally know of a brother who's currently serving in public political office. All of these new ideas and positions are supported by some in the brotherhood. What are we to do, brothers and sisters? Can these things be pleasing in Yahweh's sight? Do we personally have any responsibilities regarding these issues? Are we willing to make a stand against these ideas that we're seeing in the day's age? What is keeping each and every one of us from standing up for the old paths and trying to help our brethren who are leading some astray, and also to provide guidance to those who are being led away? Let's go to the book of Leviticus. There's a verse here that you may think might not apply to our subject matter today. But I think if you think about it, it does give us a lot of guidance. Leviticus, the 5th chapter, verse 1. If a soul sin, and hear the voice of swearing, and is a witness whether he has seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. And what has that to do with those who are walking in the old paths? I mean, walking in the new paths, and not adhering to the old paths of truth. I think our responsibilities regarding the entire truth are similar to the spiritual lesson that we learn in this verse. If we hear the voice of error, or if we come to know of the error, and if we do not stand up for the truth, then we will bear our iniquity. We all know of a description of the responsibilities of the watchman in Ezekiel 3 and chapter 33. And let's turn over to that book, and I want to read from Ezekiel 33. Starting at verse 1. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of the people, and say to them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set them for their watchmen, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Can we ignore these verses, brothers and sisters? If we do ignore these responsibilities, the prophet teaches us that we will be held accountable for not warning those around us of the impending danger that may impact each and every one of us on our spiritual path towards our common destination. At the judgment seat of Christ, we may very well have to answer for our lack of actions in protecting those around us of the dangers when we see this impending danger come amongst us. This warning must be consistent. It must be loud. Do we want our loved ones to be led away by adhering to the new paths, to the false doctrines that we see? If not, then we should be yelling from the housetops about the danger that's coming at us. Do we want our children and our teenagers and our friends of the truth to be exposed to these errors? If not, then we should be standing tall and courageous for the truth and the old paths. Let's go to the book of Joshua. How hard it is, brethren, and friends, to follow the advice that we read from the first chapter of Joshua, verses 7 through 9. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and that then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Be strong and courageous as we face the dangers of our travels and those impending dangers that come amongst us. Let us not wait until this passes over, because, brethren, it will not pass. The body of Christ will continue to have to overcome the humanism of the world, both within ourselves and within those around us. Let us not depend on others to fight the fight, the good fight of faith. Each and every one of us sitting in this room have this responsibility. We should all heed the advice given to us in the book of James. James 5, verse 19 and 20. This is our goal as we deal with these troubles and issues in the body. Brethren, if any do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Let us apply these words of wisdom to our responsibilities regarding these circumstances in which we may find ourselves in this age in which we live. Now we have a word of caution to those who have not yet entered into covenant relationship with our Creator. Do you have any responsibilities regarding this matter? And the answer is absolutely yes. In fact, I think you probably have the hardest and the most difficult challenge of anybody. In today's society of easy access to the World Wide Web and cell phone texting, there is absolutely complete access to anyone in the world. You can have conversations with your Christadelphian friends many miles away. The ease of traveling to numerous Christadelphian Bible schools and gatherings provides you many opportunities to make friends with various ecclesias around the country and around the world. Some of these newfound friends may have the same beliefs that you do, but there may be some that have different beliefs. They and their families may support the old paths. They and their families may support the new paths and the new ideas that's being presented to us. What to do, young people? What to do? What if these friendships blossom into romance? What to do? You will have difficult choices to make in the years that lie ahead if our Master doesn't return. You may ask these questions. Should I continue seeking the companionship of those who do not have the same understanding of God's truth as I do, as I have been taught? What difference does it make? What does it hurt if I go along with those who promote, proclaim, support, and endorse the new paths? I really like these new friends, you may think. They're so nice. They're so friendly. And I have such good conversations with them. What to do? What to do? The decisions that you make will lay the foundations for your future life in the Lord. Each and every one of the older members at this gathering can probably give you plenty of advice regarding these choices. However, if you are like me when I was your age, you will probably take this position. You'll probably say, thank you very much, and then proceed to do what you think is right in your own mind. So the best advice has got to come from God's Word. So let us turn and look up these verses. And I hope that every one of our young attendees tonight turns and looks up these scriptures. because they do provide us good advice about what to do, what to do. Let's go to the fourth chapter of Ephesians, starting at verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of your vocation wherewith you have been called, with all lowliness, meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And young people, what does it say? There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And also, let's go to the book of Jude. And again, these verses are not only applicable to the young in our midst. They're applicable to each and every one of us who are seeking that common destination of a place in God's kingdom. Jude 3. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. This is the responsibility of everybody who loves God's Word. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not the new paths, but the old paths. And while we're in Matthew, turn over to chapter 7. Verse 13. Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even as every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. This is applicable to our friends, to anybody who's trying to lead us astray. And also, let's go back to our opening reading from Psalms 119. Notice what it says, and connect that to the concept of stand you in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Verse 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with his whole heart. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Verse 30 and 31. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck, or my margin says, I have adhered to thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. In verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. There are plenty more verses that we could turn up that speak of the path, the way, which all of us should travel in our journey to our common destination, the kingdom of Yahweh. Let us not be dismayed by the potholes and the dangers of our trip. Let us not be persuaded by others to take a different path that may lead us astray from the pathway of the truth. Let's turn to Proverbs, the 12th chapter. Proverbs 12:28. In the way of righteousness is life, brothers and sisters. And in the pathway thereof, there is no death. In the way and in the path. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, to prove all things, hold fast that which is good and true. Do we see a connection between that verse and our theme verse of Jeremiah 6:16? Walk in the old paths, wherein is the good way. Hold fast that which is good. We may ask ourselves, what is meant when the Scriptures speak of the old paths, the ancient paths? We should remember always that our Heavenly Father wants each and every one of us to be part of His coming kingdom. Therefore, He has provided us divinely inspired words to guide us along the way toward our common goal of reaching His kingdom. That approved map that we took out to get here, we have found in God's Word. As stated earlier, I do not think the truth is complicated. At times it only appears that way because mankind has wrested the Scriptures to meet their own beliefs. The simplicity of the path of reconciliation to our Heavenly Father and to the reward of eternal life, I think, can best be understood by a pictorial drawing of the plan of salvation that we're all familiar with. It was drawn by our brother Bachman in the 50s. As we look and contemplate the scriptural doctrines represented in this picture, we should always keep in mind that, yes, it is a man-made document, but it does represent the old paths of truth that have been revealed in the Word of Yahweh and believed by the faithful of many ages. No, it's not considered a sacred document, but it is an excellent pictorial teaching tool about the truth. The primary lesson to learn from this chart is the path of redemption and salvation offered to the descendants of Adam and Eve as they are born into the state of condemnation in which they received after being thrust from the Garden of Eden. During the time when we are in Adam, we may choose to take advantage of the opportunity to begin our travels down the narrow path that leads to the kingdom of God and to the bestowal of eternal life and immortality. During our journey, we will hear the Word of God, gain an understanding of that precious gospel message. We learn to believe the truth. We prepare ourselves to learn obedience. And we put to death the old man Adam. We become a new creature as we arise through the waters of baptism. As we arise from these waters, we have not changed our physical characteristics, but our legal status before Yahweh has changed. We're no longer in Adam, subject to the condemnation of eternal death. We are now in Christ, walking towards that common goal of the kingdom of Yahweh. We are commanded to walk in the way in which our Master has shown us through His life of obedience. Along our journey, we will have to overcome the obstacles of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Our journey in Christ will keep us in the world, but we're not to partake of the pleasures of the world or the cares of this life. We know that some will not be successful in their efforts to overcome the hazards along the way. Some will not be alive when the judge of the whole earth will return to this world. However, the Scriptures teach us, and I think this pictorial drawing represents it very well, that all those in Christ and only those in Christ will stand before our righteous judge. At that time, the unjust will be sentenced to the second death, and those who have been successful in their journey, the common journey that all of us have, will receive the promise of eternal life and will be brought back into complete reconciliation with our Heavenly Father and will be allowed to partake of the tree of life. Let's go over to the Apocalypse, the very last chapter, where we are told in verse 12, "Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to his work, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in to the gates and to the city." As we think and meditate upon the scriptural principles presented in this pictorial drawing, we should all be strengthened for the road that lies ahead of us. For we do have exceedingly great, precious promises. Now let us look at some verses that exhort us to stay in this way in which we have just described, the way towards the King of the Tree of Life and complete reconciliation with our Heavenly Father. And we're just going to turn and read through these, so if you want to follow along, there's the list. Exodus 18, verse 20. Dropping back to verse 19. "Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, God shall be with thee," speaking to Moses. "Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes to God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do." Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Psalms 1:1. Of course, the whole first psalm would be excellent reading. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners," not the old paths, "nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Psalms 25. Verse 12. "What man is he that feareth Yahweh? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose." Psalms 32, verse 8. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." Psalms 143, verse 8. "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust." Remember our hymn that we sang earlier, "For in thee do I trust." "Cause me to know the way in which I should walk." Proverbs 9, verse 6. "Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." Proverbs 21, 16. "The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding, out of the way of understanding, shall remain in the congregation of the dead." Isaiah 30, verse 21. "And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way. Walk you in it when you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left." Jeremiah 21, verse 8. "And unto this people thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." Matthew 7:13-14 that we've read earlier. "Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. And also John 14. And I'm sure this verse is probably came into your minds as we've walked through our exhortation this evening. John 14, 4 through 6. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus' instructions and guidance is the way in which we should walk towards eternal life. As we close very shortly, we hope and pray that the exhortation to stay in the way has been meaningful to you this evening. Both old and young, both in the covenant and those who have not yet chosen to take on the saving name of Christ. We pray that all will heed the commandments and the admonitions given to us to be a watchman as recorded in Ezekiel 3 and chapter 33. Let us always be ready to proclaim the warning of the dangers that exist within and without the ecclesia. The spiritual welfare of individuals within the body depends on each and every one of us standing strong for the truth, contending when necessary without being contentious. We know that there will always be a remnant who will continue to hold the truth dear to their hearts. However, we also know that the strength of the individual and collective members of the body of Christ will continue to wane as long as we allow humanism to exist in our midst. Look around, brothers and sisters and friends of the truth. After our exhortation and our closing announcements, you'll have a chance to meet and greet many brethren who've came a long way, many brethren who you haven't seen in a long time. Think of the joy that we may have if we're granted a place in God's kingdom at the end of our common journey, when we have that same pleasure and same joy. We pray, just as we have arrived successfully this evening, that God will assist us to be successful in our common journey toward our most precious and wonderful goal, eternal life, immortality, a place in God's kingdom, and the opportunity to serve Yahweh forever. Our Master, who is the way, the truth, the life, is at the door. We await His wonderful words. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou to the joy of thy Lord. In our probationary walk, we all have very, very difficult choices to make. We can strive to follow the way, the path of God's truth, or we can follow other influences in our life. What do we choose to follow, brothers and sisters? This picture, don't take this picture in the wrong way. This picture is not teaching us that we should be disobedient to our parents or to not develop friendships with those who are like-minded with us. The lesson from this slide is that we have to realize that there is only one path that we can take. There is only one path where we will ultimately be counted as Abraham's seed and as the stars of the heaven. We must seek God's kingdom and His glorious truth at all times. We cannot compromise the truth, even if our loved ones stray from the way. One may ask, well, aren't we commanded to always love our brothers and sisters and our neighbors? And the answer is absolutely yes, of course. We should strive to always seek God's kingdom and always be willing and able to assist others to also reach our common destination. I wrote these words down in a little notebook I've got, and I don't remember where they came from, but I think they give us some very good advice. In this, when we contemplate especially this picture and the choices that we may have to make in our life. And I don't remember the brother that made the statement, but I think they do provide great exhortation if we allow our minds to contemplate the great advice provided therein. Think on this advice, brethren. Our duty to love others should never interfere with our duty to proclaim and live God's truth. If you think about that, if you think about what the picture is showing, there is one path that leads towards our common journey, the end of our common journey. We pray and hope always that these two objectives are not opposed to each other. But if they are in opposition to each other, that of loving others as opposed to following God's path, remember which commandment was given to us as the greatest of all. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. We cannot travel alongside those who are not going down the same path that God has directed us toward. However, we always must be willing to assist those who are traveling down the wrong path. There's only one path that we and our loved ones must consider. The path that leads towards the tree of life. Let us always be strong and courageous in the truth and for the truth. Stand you in the ways. See and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Thank you.